The Everything Home Podcast is brought to you by Helping the People. We're a real estate company, home resource center, and nonprofit organization that's disrupting the home buying and selling experience by providing relationship-based real estate with a socially conscious purpose. We match home buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors, and 25% of their commission is donated to our Homes for Veterans program, which financially assists veterans who want to buy a home or need home improvements for their service-connected injuries. We created this program as a way for Americans to honor the men and women of the United States military for their service to our nation and the sacrifices they've made. So if you're looking to buy a home or it's time to sell yours, please give us a call at 833-694-6636 or visit our website at helpingthepeople.org. Not only will you be working with our realtors, who are among the top 1 to 5% in Arizona and the greater San Diego area, you'll be changing the life of a veteran while we change yours. That's 833-694-6636 and helpingthepeople.org. We look forward to you becoming a part of our very unique community.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Your home is the base for everything in your life, from the structure and contents to what goes on inside and within yourself. To make sure this foundation is solid as can be, we invite a special guest to share something you will find enlightening, inspiring, and entertaining. Now here's your host, Michelle Swinnick. Enjoy the show.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Everything Home, where we talk about life stuff in balance. Humor is something that we've all depended on to get us through the day or take us away from a problem or diffuse a situation and make us laugh before we say something we may regret. So I kind of thought it was time to have our first comedian on the show. And my guest today caught my attention because he had some patriotic tweets honoring the military. And then I saw this video of him riding a motorized old school blue and white cooler, and he's a big guy. So as I'm laughing, I find this other video, and this time it was him cutting the grass with a window air conditioning unit around his neck, and it was plugged in, and the caption said, "How I cut grass in 93 degrees. So I want to give a big Everything Home welcome to Steve McGranahan, the world's strongest redneck. So how are you today, Steve?
Doing well. I just got finished eating some black bass. I just caught in Cape Cod, so I'm nice and full and feeling pretty good right now.
And I'm assuming that is standard etiquette for a redneck on a Tuesday.
Yeah. We eat our aquatic protein on Tuesdays, yeah.
But you catch it and then you eat it. It's not like you went to the grocery store. So that would be difference between a traditional dinner or lunch grocery store run and then somebody who can be considered along the lines of the criteria of a redneck.
Yeah, this black bass, we went about 1,300 miles to get it, not counting the miles on the water with the boat. So we were out fishing Outdoor Blues, new TV show we're getting going on Pursuit Channel in January.
This is not your first stint in television. I mean, you had a show on the Discovery Channel for a while.
Yeah,
do you want to share any fun memories from that before we talk about the new show that you're working on?
We did Fat and Furious. I did Fat and Furious on Discovery Channel. We did, I think, 22 or 29 episodes of that. And before that, I did 49 episodes with Country Fried Home Videos on CMT. I just do a ton of videos, too, so here and there, but the funnest thing on the car show was doing 120 miles an hour. I mean, in a quarter mile with a bunch of $250,000 cars. Those Mopars we did were beautiful. I've done it all. Everything from cars to hunting. I think I've eaten like 13 species of animals this year already. So I got a good life. I really do. I can't complain. A friend of mine just sent a 4.5-inch alligator tooth I'm wearing around my neck right now, so he made me a necklace. We did Hug a Tree, Kiss a Fish down for children with autism down in Dallas, and I met him down there, and we did a charity event down there. Ended up we're doing real well. Did two shows for them down there for the kids.
You do a lot of charity work.
Yeah.
You really do give back.
Well, we have to. I mean, we have gifts. We have abilities. We have, I mean, I've literally traveled the world, you know, rolling frying pans up for orphans in Russia to gypsies in Romania. So, I mean, we just have fun. Give back. The world's big out there. Go see it.
Oh, and you know, you need that entertainment. I mean, a lot of those people have probably never seen anything like the entertainment that you provide. I mean, you just said rolling out the frying pan, and I want people to get their arms around what you just said. I mean, you take a frying pan that somebody has in their kitchen, basically, and you roll it up as if it's
like a burrito.
Like a pizza, like a burrito. Now,
like
you know, you see some of these people that do crazy stuff like that, and then mm-hmm. you always ask them, at what point did you figure out you could do that? How did that all come about where you started picking up all these heavy things and rolling them and a deck of cards and all the other crazy stuff that you do that is amazingly strong person?
Yeah, I'm like freaky strong, even at 54 years old. I'm a very blessed human being. What happened, this is the funniest one that I fell upon. I was sitting there and I got shoulder surgery. I had a torn rotator cuff, a torn labrum, and some bone spurs in my right shoulder. So the whole time I was injured, and it takes probably about a half a year to get back to 100% on a shoulder, like, you know, as strong as mine. And I was sitting there thinking, what can I do with my left arm? So I started doing one-arm clean and presses. I think I got to, 170 pounds with my left arm, you know, pressing a huge dumbbell over my head. And I was still bored. And I was like, oh, what else can I do? So I called a friend of mine. I was like, Tommy, you know, what can I do with my left hand? And he goes, well, why don't you do a one-handed card rip? And I was like, what? He goes, yeah, stick the deck of cards in your mouth and rip it with your left hand. And I went, okay. So I put a whole deck in my mouth, and I tried, and I think I kinked it a little bit. And I was like, oh, this is harder than it seems, you know, even for a strong man. So I put like 3/4 of a deck, and I ripped it. And I was like, okay, we're on to something here right now. And it's literally the only thing I do left-handed strength-wise. I got up to a whole deck. And, you know, ripping it with my left hand. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. So my wife emails Jay Leno and don't try this at home segment. And she goes, my husband's a freak of nature. He can rip a deck of cards in his teeth. So they call back and she goes, Steve, this phone call's for you. And I go, hello? And I go, yeah, this is Jay Leno. We wanted you want to come out to California, rip decks of cards in your teeth. And I went, sir, how did you find out I ripped decks of cards in my teeth? Oh, your wife sent me an email. And I'm looking at her as we're talking on the phone, and I'm looking at her and went, and she kind of gets that uh-oh look. And I said, I'll talk to you in a minute. So we set up me ripping 10 decks of cards in under 30 seconds on the Jay Leno show, Don't Try This at Home. So that's how that feat of strength happened, by having a torn up right shoulder and ripping with my left hand.
And you never once were worried about your teeth getting ripped out? The hazards never crossed your mind, it seems like, right?
When the hazard caught up with me, I was bending a penny in my teeth. And I usually cover it up with a leather thing, and I bend it into like this little taco. But one day I says, well, for prosperity's sake, I'm going to bend the penny in my teeth with no cloth on it. And sure enough, halfway through the bend, I hear this. I'm like, oh, and I split part of the tooth out. Actually, it's on one of my videos on YouTube. And I'm calling my wife, and I'm going, hey, you know that thing you told me not to do? I did it. And it ended up costing me that one penny. It's a true story. That one penny cost me $119.
Ugh. Yeah, and the pain. Yeah. That noise is the worst.
Yeah. So I've bent a penny in my dentist's office because she didn't believe me I could do it.
Probably hoping that you chipped the tooth so then she was going to be able to charge you to get some work done.
Yeah, get another tooth.
Yeah. Yeah, like this will be great.
Over the years, I have had my teeth like separate I've had them, you know, bleed a little bit. I've gotten up to, I can do a phone book and rip a phone book in my teeth. I've done a license plate in my teeth.
You've ripped a metal license plate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
The thing is, with a license plate, you wash them before you do them in your teeth.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
that, you don't know where it's been. You don't know where it's been.
Yeah, that road ick up here is just nasty. And I have done that too, like crunch down on it. Duct tape, Dexa cards in my teeth. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, eat light bulbs too. I eat light bulbs.
Why don't you start with that one? Because that one's, I mean, I can understand the ripping,
that
but
one,
the light bulb, I mean,
yeah.
Come on. That one's a little.
I actually studied. Actually, Hollywood flew me out there 2 weeks ago for me to eat a light bulb. True story. Yep. You'll see it probably in July. I'll email you and tell you when to watch it. Yeah, I ate a light bulb. I studied eating glass. Yeah. So, and I actually, when I was auditioning for the show, I accidentally swallowed glass and I had indigestion real bad for like 5 days. But the secret of swallowing glass is you have to chew it up for the size of sand. Because that's all glass is sand. So if you chew it up the size of sand, you're all right. But if you don't, then you wake up with holes in your underwear from glass blasting all
right. And, yeah. And I don't want everyone to do a visual of that because that is some funny stuff.
Yeah.
So what are your favorite feats that you've done? I mean, obviously, it sounds like you add on things all the time. I'm sure you look around and go, oh, my, I can rip that in half, or I can pick that up, or I can bend that. So what's your favorite, and what are you working on that's your next step that you're going to take it to the next level?
I actually was going to flip a 300-pound tire today and hold a 120-pound rock on my shoulder, and I was going to flip the tire with one hand, but I was too tired to even try it, so I'll probably try that one. I'll probably do that in a couple of weeks, just figuring out the anatomical way of lifting it, the kinetic way of doing it, kinesiology or something. I want them fancy words.
You say that you're a redneck, but you're a very smart businessman, and I give you a ton of credit that you've actually taken this talent, you've monetized it, you've created a 20-year career in Hollywood and on television, and it's continuing. I mean, you said even in the past month, you've traveled 14,000 miles. You're making a great living that you can actually spend the time working on doing some charity work. So, I mean,
well, we want to take care of people around us and, you know, love on people and feed them. I mean, if you can feed people, they'll treat you with all the respect in the world. And that's, you know, that's what I admire about what you're doing is, I mean, you're like selling flags, building houses for soldiers, or fixing bathrooms for injured soldiers and, you know, how they can get into their house. I mean, that's real life stuff that, I mean, you got to love your brother. You got to take care of people, you know? And it'll come back to you. Reciprocity, law of reciprocity. God don't, put it this way, God does not forget who blesses who, you know? And it's going to come back on you. You just got to be
sensitive. I agree. You know, and I feel that there's just so many things that we need to do to give back to certain individuals. I mean, like I said, I respect the fact that you've partnered up with some people that are willing to take the risk and go down the road of helping the first responders and the law enforcement who've been injured. There's no reason why somebody can't focus on that and help those men and women out, because they were just trying to protect us. Just like the veterans, you know, when they come back and they're injured, that's all I'm trying to do is trying to come up with a way in order to give back to somebody. So, hey, you know what? Give them a little independence, give them a little dignity, because they can't do the things that, I mean, if they weren't over there doing what they had to do, I couldn't be doing what I'm doing, and I couldn't be going out to dinner at night, or I couldn't even just go ahead and be at peace by just something simple to go walk and get the mail down the street, you know? So if they had the courage to go put a uniform on and go live in a ditch and take care of doing things that I can't even get my arms around, the least I can do is somehow contribute and take care of somebody when they come back because they're injured. And then now at that point that some of these people, they can't even take care of themselves. And that's just not right. You know, I just, unfortunately in the military world, the veteran world, I mean, as far as contributions go, they get the lowest pretty much of anybody. I mean, there was some 400, and I believe it was $417 billion in contributions, say last year, the year before, and veteran organizations, veteran military organizations only got like $2.5 billion from the general public. And that's a small fraction. I think animals placed higher than veterans. And, you know, I get people love their pets, but, you know, there's a point you gotta, wake up people. You know what I mean?
One Christmas Eve, I went out and I bought a ton of long johns, I bought a ton of blankets. And I'd been noticing in the fall of where people started hiding, you know, the injured and the homeless and everything. And I knew a few of them were vets. So I went out one night and I just started handing out, you know, blankets and, you know, hey, here, you know, bless you, you know, all that stuff. And I came to this one guy. He was at an empty Kroger's entrance. I said, hey, bud, how you doing, man? He's like, go away, man. I'm like, cool, I will, man. I said, I brought you a blanket, man. I bet, you know, I don't know if you're a veteran or if you're somebody. He says, you don't know who I am. I don't really care, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was like, wow, this dude don't even want a blanket to keep him warm. You know, that's how torn up they are. I mean, you could tell that he was kind of young under all that old beard and old, you know what I mean? You could tell he was, you know, and he just wanted to be left alone. He didn't want, and I'm like, dude, I'm gonna put this blanket right. I don't want no blanket, man. Get out of here, you know. And I mean, I'm 6 foot. I was 350 pounds, and I was, you know, pick up cars all my life, so I'm not really scared of this dude. But out of just respect, you know, that he wanted to be left alone, I just backed off. You know, you can't make people love you. You can't, you know, but you can show them all the love in the world you can, but, I mean, it might not come back to you. And I was like, man, this dude's really, really injured. He was, you know. So you try your best.
You might be a strongest redneck, but you're a pretty damn smart one, too.
I ain't the dumbest. No. I've met some dumbest ones, though. Trust me. Yeah. You know, when you're standing around a fire and somebody goes, here, hold my beer, yeah, that's usually, you know, find the keys, you go to the hospital.
Right. Here we go. Here we go.
Here we go. Oh, he took his hat off. It's going to be ugly now, boys.
And yeah, just keep the pants on.
Going, do it for me, honey. Do it for me, honey. Please do it for you, my hero. You know. Oh yeah.
Always doing it for the girl. Is that how you started doing one of these? Is you were trying to impress some female or perhaps the wife that has all the patience on the planet?
Oh, my wife is a freaking saint. She is. Oh. She's a little Italian woman, about 5'3", 107 pounds. And people ask me, who's stronger than the world's strongest redneck? I go, my little Italian wife. So, yeah. she just shakes her head, and I don't know. I think she tries to figure out what she's going to buy next with the check coming in. You know, kind of crazy.
Right. Exactly.
She's going to get her check. She's going to hear me sitting around hurting and in pain for 2 weeks because I did something really stupid. She's going to figure out how to get her cut. So.
Well, yeah, she was. It sounded like she was one of your first agents when she sent that email over to Jay Leno, and then she had that look on her face where she's already figuring out how much money she's gonna make off it. So I give her credit too.
Well, she did give me the camera that made me do 49 shows with Country Fried Home Videos. She gave me a camera in December, and I put it on my lifting barrel, and I turned it on. And I said, hey, I'm Steve McGranahan, world's strongest redneck. And this is how you bend a penny in your teeth. This is how you rip a deck of cards in your teeth. And this is how you bend a nail. But if you're from West Virginia, you got to have all your teeth before you can rip a deck of cards in your teeth. That was the audition tape. I sent it out to Hollywood, to CMT, and they ended up, they ordered up I think it was 10 shows, and it ended up being 49 shows after that. We had a lot of money for the next 3 years, so more money than I've ever made before, so it's pretty good. One day I went in the backyard, and this is a true story. I made $10,000 in 45 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. They bought 6 of the 9 videos that I made, and I was like, okay, I'm off for the rest of the month.
But the videos aren't long, and they are you doing some of these magnificent examples of strength, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the dumbest one I ever did. Oh, this, I still hate this pain to this day. They were like, can you do a juicer? And I'm like, a what? They said, can you be a redneck juicer?
Oh, God.
And I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? Squeeze on my hand? And they said, just figure it out. Be a redneck juicer. And I'm like, how in the world can I be? So I went to the grocery store and I bought everything from coconuts to watermelon to grapefruit, oranges, everything. And I was just like, how do I juice this? How do I, you know, smashing it, hitting it on my head, you know, just doing stupid stuff. All of a sudden, I reach down, I grab a grapefruit, I stick it under my armpit, and I squeeze it into this glass. This is the one they ended up buying. Squeezed it into the glass, took the glass, and drank it, and went, that tastes kind of pissy. That was all I did. That tastes kind of pissy. Like, you know, pissy and piss, you know,
yeah,
piss,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. It ain't over yet. 20 to 30 seconds later, my armpit is on fire.
I'm sure.
Because of the acid in the grapefruit. I mean, I literally had tears in my eyes because it burnt so bad. And I was laughing so hard going, dude, you're an idiot. Because, you know, the skin of the grapefruit, the acid, everything. And it was like somebody put a fire up under my armpit. And I was just laughing so hard at that. And they were like, yeah, that's pretty dumb. We'll buy that, Steve. That's pretty good. And I was like, I hope so.
Great American success story, I tell you. Who knew? An armpit and a grapefruit could make or break, take you to the whole next level.
Yep. Yeah. Set the new standard for fruit juicing in the morning.
You're creative. I give you credit for that.
You know,
if it was easy, everybody'd be
about
doing it.
Survive
and
improvise.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to survive and improvise.
So in your travels, you've got at least 20 years under your belt. You've been all over the world. Who was the greatest person, or at least the most entertaining, that you got a chance to work with or met? And then I don't want you to ask you who was the least desirable. We'll leave that alone. But, yeah, we don't want to get anybody in trouble.
No, I met Taylor Swift was one of the sweetest people I ever met. I met her down in Nashville. She let me cut in line. I bent her a horseshoe heart. She freaked out, and we took a nice PR picture, but she's one of the most admired people because she sat there for 13 and a half hours and signed every autograph and took every picture. I mean, that to me is integrity. It's unbelievable. I learned a lot from that little girl that day. Because that is where you have to love your fans no matter how you feel for as long as. And look at her fan base now. It's billions of people, literally. So it pays off. Doing the Tonight Show with Larry the Cable Guy was absolutely just fun. I've been a wrench, a frying pan, and a horseshoe on that one. That was real memorable. That was the second time I was on Leno. I don't know. I've met them all from Trace Atkins to Charlie Daniels is probably patriotic, the most patriotic. I bent, I think, a horseshoe heart, a wrench, and did some cards and stuff for his birthday when he was down in Pittsburgh. But that man right there, that is one awesome, beautiful, patriot human being right there. And man, can he tear a fiddle up, even at 78 years old. Yeah, I'd probably say Charlie Daniels is right up there.
So do you get a bulk discount on wrenches, frying pans, and horseshoes?
No,
okay.
Thousands of dollars. Yeah, just throw $10 bills, $10 and $20 bills. Let it rain.
Yeah, I would think they would be a sponsor for you. You buy this, you know what, you're handing them out, you're bending them all over, and I would think that they would jump on that opportunity.
Yeah, a box of horseshoe goes for, I think, $264 now. So ain't nothing cheap anymore made out of metal. Yeah, I think I just spent $100 on frying pans 2 weeks ago.
So that, is that Christmas gifts for people too? You vend those things and just wrap it up in a package, and you're done with your Christmas shopping for
so
the year.
So funny, No, I can't even sell a frying pan after the show for $5. I mean, nobody, but it's the best joke trick I have. It's the best, I wouldn't say trick, but it's the funniest. I do a redneck hot dog cooker. But to sell a rolled up frying pan and show people, like, what am I going to do with that? Hanging on my garage door here, sign it. I'll take it off your hands for free, you know. Seriously, I mean, that's what it
is. Yeah, what are you going to do with it? It's cool to watch, but.
A frying pan that I roll up,
Oh, I'm going to have to watch one of the videos. I haven't seen that. It's like I said in the beginning, the air conditioning, when I saw the picture of the air conditioning, it was a video, and I'm like, okay, that's funny. But then when I pushed the play, you actually had it plugged in and turned it on. And that's when I started laughing. Well, we're in Arizona. So, I mean, it was about 107, 108. So I just, I was laughing so hard when I saw that video.
That air conditioning weighed probably 110 pounds. It's one of them.
It was around your neck.
The chain around my neck was cutting off the circulation to my brain. True story. I would take it off. I had to film that probably. I got it on the fourth take. And by the time I took it off, that last take that you see on the video, I pull it off of my head, and I'm sitting there and I'm dizzy. I'm woozy. From that much pressure being on the base of my skull and brain. So, I mean, I could have passed out with it.
Oh, yeah.
In my yard with the lawnmower running and the air conditioner laying on the ground running. That would have been a nice sight for AMT.
So when you do these videos, is there somebody filming them, or is it just you solo because you had an idea? So when it's something you did pass out, it's just you're flying solo and hope that your wife comes home from work?
No, it's a lot of times I'm just duct taping my iPhone or something to a stick. Literally.
Oh, man. Because, you know, the selfie stick, that doesn't work with the redneck whole image. You couldn't have that. It would be like, you'd be like Kim Kardashian redneck. It just wouldn't work. Like I said, I would give your wife so much credit. How did she decide that you were the one, knowing that your personalities and the craziness that you do is so drastically different?
Here's the story of how I met my wife. She was 3 years old and I was 6 years old. And her aunt married my uncle. Now you're doing the math in your head, aren't
you?
Yeah. It's legal. It's legal, trust me. We share the same first cousins, believe it or not. Yeah, from two different they're full-blown Italian, even on my cousin's side. And we're full-blown, they call us whiteheads. Because we're like Germans. So So I actually remember her mother carrying her in her arms, because I would come up to the north every summer and spend time with my grandparents. And we would go hang out at my aunt's house and my uncle's house, who had the house. So she made meatballs and everything on Sunday, and, you know, just a full-blown Italian family.
Yummy.
Gina's parents, which were brethren to her aunt's sister, you see what I mean? They were brother and sister, so they'd come over. And we would have, oh my goodness, we would have 40 people over on a Sunday afternoon, 5 and 10 picnic tables full of people eating bread and pasta. Yeah, it's huge, huge.
No, it's good food and good family, good entertainment.
Yeah, we kept it in the family over the years.
Yeah. Well, everyone, you know, it's marrying from within, but extended.
A friend of mine always says, hey, did you ever have that blind kid on the blind albino kid playing a banjo on the front porch? And I went, no, it's not the way it goes. No. From Deliverance.
Like,
you ever seen Deliverance? That's a Deliverance.
Yeah, it's been a while, but
like,
yeah.
You'll probably edit this out part. So, but anyhow, he would always reference that.
I'm going to put in the banjo. Hey, do you want to talk about that new show that you guys are working on, the Outdoor Blues, just because it's something great that helps out our law enforcement and first responders?
Yeah. The Outdoor Blues, we really want to love our first responders, police, EMTs, even, you know, the guys who work in prison with people. I mean, everybody who's, you know, dealing on the front line and dealing with people. We're doing it's called Outdoor Blues. It'll be on the Pursuit Channel January and February of next year. And we just want to take care of the guys on the front line. And if they can't afford to go hunting or fishing, we want to take them hunting and fishing. And if they've been injured in the line of duty, then, you know, they can't afford to go. So we want to pay for their hunt and all their license and everything and just, you know, love on them, man, because they've gotten a bad rap lately, and we're sick and tired of it. The two guys that I do the show – actually, three people I do the show with, Leah, she's a deputy out in one county, and Steve and Mike are deputies inside of the jail in Youngstown, Ohio. So we want to give back to the community. We want to, you know, love those that have been injured and take them out, have a good day, fishing, hunting, do whatever. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes that can make all the difference in the world of somebody just getting a chance to do something they used to do and to know that somebody else is out there rooting for them and it just cares and, you know, gets you out of your head and you don't think about where you are now or your injuries. And, you know, it really can turn around somebody's whole attitude. So I think it's wonderful that you've doing this and you've found some other like-minded partners to take this to the next level. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. And we're going to promote that as soon as we get a chance to get the information when it comes out to let people know.
Thank you.
There's anything else? I know that you said that you were doing a lot of these charity events. I mean, if there's any way that we can help you participate or we can help promote anything, please, you know, we're going to post stuff on Facebook, on Twitter, just because I want to help you out as much as I can in regards to exposures. I mean, obviously you've got much bigger following than we do, but I mean, if I can drive people there and expose them to some great organizations and people, I want to help as much as I can. So what were you saying that you're working on something else too?
Yeah. Down in Dallas, I met a young boy and I'll end with this because it's such a new thing to my heart. It's called Jeremiah's Journey. And it was a little foster boy, and he's now adopted, thank God. But he would, every time the people would come in and say, okay, Jeremiah, we got to go to another foster home, he would put stuff in a plastic bag, put it over his shoulder, and walk out. And he's like, one day he was sitting down, and he started writing something, and he's like, Mom, look at this. And he was like, what if we can do this to all the foster kids so they don't have to carry garbage bags anymore? And he made this little pouch, and you carry it in between, you know, your shoulders like a book bag, but it's like a pouch. And inside the pouch is a mirror, a journal, and a bear. And I'm like, well, what's the mirror, the journal, and the bear? He says, the mirror is I look at myself and know that I have self-worth. And I'm like, this kid is 12 years old, and he came up with this when he was like 9. How did this happen? So, and I said, well, what's the journal? He says, well, the journal is where I'm writing my life story. I want everybody to know my life story. And I said, what's the teddy bear for? He says, the teddy bear is my companion. This is the one thing I can count on going with me everywhere I go. And I'm like, man, I got to get this story out. This is awesome. So that's
12.
Yeah,
12 years old.
12 right now. And actually, when I was down in Dallas, I said, Jeremiah, come up here and tell people your story. And he says, no. I says, oh, you're talking to the wrong person. You know, I was a bad public speaker. I was. And I said, didn't you just hear what I talked about being encouraging and getting out of your comfort zone and using your gift to tell people? I said, how are you going to get your story? I was telling this to the whole audience. There was probably 100 people in the audience. I says, get up here right now. So his mama goes, how about you reading to the audience? He goes, okay, I can read it. So he read his story to the audience for the first time when I was down there. And the next show I did, I let him read it again. And right now, my wife just informed me today that Jeremiah's Journey got a lot of publicity, and they're starting a GoFundMe.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so me getting his butt up there speaking you know, basically hopefully got the ball rolling on them being, you know, financial. Because each bag they give away to a foster child is $25. So Jeremiah's Journey is now making or getting contributions to get these foster care packages out to these kids. So it's, I mean, it's all happening. And you got to be a part of something. You got to get people out of their comfort zone, you know, to do things for other people, especially foster kids, man. They get bounced around like 4 or 5 houses a year probably.
Well, it's not even their fault. I mean, the kid didn't do anything. You know, that's the most heart-wrenching part of all that, where the kid didn't sign up for this. Then all of a sudden he's like, wait, how did I get this gig? You know what I mean? How did I get that deck of cards like this?
But if
what
we,
happened
if we
there?
Can get something in their hand, if we can get something in their hand to comfort it and ease the pain a little bit, then I'm all for it. Count me in for 4 bags. You know what I mean? Seriously.
Yeah.
Count me in for 4 bags.
And that's great. If you could send me their contact information, that would be great. I'd like to outreach to them and see if there's anything that could help promote them too. So
Sounds good.
Can do that. So anything to sum it up, Steve? I mean, words of wisdom for the listeners out there, or perhaps somebody who wants to start learning how to bend a frying pan?
Well, I can't teach you all that because I got to keep my job. But just love your neighbor. Learn to give. You can't outgive God. I've learned that a long time ago. You know, reciprocity is always going to come back to you. Whether it's a soldier that's been injured, a first responder that's been injured, or, you know, Jeremiah's Journey, or Hug a Tree, Kiss a Frog, you know, thing down in Dallas too. So just give. I mean, that's because you can't outgive. That's one thing I've learned in being with so many charities, excuse me, around the world, and literally, you know, halfway around the world to Russia, is people are always going to, you know, give back to you. This whole trip this weekend in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, was totally donated. All the gas was $300 in gas for the boat. All the bait for the fish, it was all donated. So, you know, it's all going to work out in the end. Just find a charity, find a nonprofit, and just love the people involved with it. And get involved with it yourself. Got to get your hands dirty.
I think that's a great ending for the show, Steve. I mean, you sound like a big teddy bear, even though you're strong and you're a funny guy. And I'm glad to see that there's this wonderful soft side of you. So I
thank you very much.
Thanks for doing the work that you do. And well, definitely, you're more than welcome to come on and give any time that you can to a segment, and maybe give us an update every once in a while on what you're doing, and let us help you promote anything that you are doing. So we'll definitely keep
very
in
good.
Touch if you're up for it.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And thank you for doing what you're doing
it.
For our vet.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. We'll
you
definitely be in
much.
Touch. You too. Thank mm-hmm. you so much again, Steve. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, everybody, that was Steve McGranahan, the world's strongest redneck. Quite amazing that somebody that strong in comedy, doing crazy stuff, is like a big teddy bear. He's got a heart of gold. And we got a chance to talk off the air a little bit. And it's amazing the work that he's doing that you would never think about. And so it's nice to see that. And he's got that new show coming out to help support first responders and law enforcement that were injured in the line of duty. I hope you enjoyed the show. He's a good guy. We're going to have him back on again, get some updates, and give you some good information on the work that he's doing, so we can spread the message of good people doing good business and good things. And who knew it was going to be the big burly comedian guy? Sometimes those are always the best ones. I appreciate you listening to the Everything Home podcast. All of our guests and information on their shows are listed on our website, which is everythinghomepodcast.com. And you can subscribe and download all the shows through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Player FM, and Blog Talk Radio. Again, take a look at our website. We've got some great people on there that we've interviewed, ones that are coming up that are really powerful. And it's a great resource. It's a tool, and all the information's free. We were talking with Steve McGranahan, the world's strongest redneck. And we'll definitely have him back on. Make it a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick.